The views and opinions expressed in the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect the views of Revere Radio Network, Rob Revere, or any other host on the network. They are the personal thoughts and feelings of the host given the presentation. We support total free speech here at Revere Radio Network, even when it's ugly. Enjoy.
Hey, you're listening to Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned.
All right, everybody. Good evening and welcome to the Revere Radio Network. You're listening to the worldwide home of free speech when listening to Revere Radio, and you should be happy for having found it. You can also catch this show, Nowhere to Run, on iTunes and the nowheretorun.podomatic.com site and a few other of the podcast feeds. But certainly it's every Wednesday night at 5 Central on Revere Radio Network, and you can just stream that live at revereradio.net. We've got a lot to do today, but first I got to do some corrections because I just got to do some corrections here. Let's roll the corrections thing here.
I've just picked up a fault in the AE-35 unit.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think but fly, think.
Are you like a crazy person?
I'm quite sure they will say so.
How would you feel about making a change?
We fear change.
All through history, self-anointed seers have predicted the end of the world, and they've always been wrong.
But, sweetheart, I have something they didn't have. A good feeling about this.
Okay, well, first of all, let me say that before, you know, when I write an email to somebody, or especially a lengthy email about anything I'm, like, passionate about or something, or doing these shows or anything that I'm doing something, putting something out there like that, I always think something completely different of it from the very first part. Same thing with writing songs and stuff like that. It's like as soon as you write a song, it's like you think it's the best thing that has ever happened. You're sure of it. It's like this song is the greatest song ever, and it takes at least in case of a song, like a day or two or three in order to come back to it to like see it with any clarity whatsoever. It's like, hey, that song kind of sucks, really. And, I mean, the same thing. I know myself with, like, writing emails now. I hate when I, like, write an email. First of all, I'm a terrible speller and punctuation and all that stuff. So, that included. But an email is like, if I fire an email off at somebody, I guarantee that I didn't want to say, like, half of it. And it's all wrong and it's unchecked and it's just terrible. And especially if I'm writing anything lengthy, then it's just terrible because I go back and look at it and be like, oh my gosh, how stupid was that? But I don't have the immediate process of any like creative thinking. Anything creative product that I produce is always viewed at completely different from the moment it's created until looking back on it later. And one of the things that I've kind of gotten into a bad habit with these shows is not listening to them. For the most part, I'll go back through in some cases, like to find if I know that something was wrong, or I get an email about corrections, or I'll skim it sort of like with Winamp, like just seeing about certain topics and just checking my facts sometimes. But I don't really listen to them or anything, and I did this week because we had a long trip, and long story short, we were in New York and all this kind of fun stuff. But I had a lot of driving, like 40 hours of driving to do. And so I had some of these shows on there, and I couldn't believe how mad I was at them. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I had that out there. And for a number of reasons I was mad at them, like for 10 reasons. but, you know, the main thing is that a lot of them were just misleading and wrong. I think I was fired up about some stuff early on. I mean, I really have, this has all been like a learning process for doing the show. I mean, you could go through them and see that I, stuff that I'm talking about right now and so sure about, I mean, I was saying something almost completely different back in the early thing. You know, it was really a learning process the whole time. But, man, I was really wrong about a lot of stuff, and what I did was, and not to mention just wrong about it, but I was also, like, super cocky. I was like, and now, another thing, and whatever, and it was just, like, so unappealing, and just grated on me. And I know people, like, hate it when they hear their own voice, and stuff like that, and that's natural, I think, too, and I don't like that either, but I was beyond that. It was like, just, gosh, you could just see just this sickening pride dripping off of the every word. And also, I mean, when I first did the first show, which is Lost Now by Design, because, well, the very first show, when I first submitted it to Rob at Rob Revere, I actually I had that process of not realizing that it was so bad until a few days later. I mean, I was just thought, hey, there you go, that's a show for you. Now you gotta, you know, and then I listened back to it, and that's what it was. I was on the road and I had all this time to like re-listen to it over and over, and I couldn't do anything except for like listen to it, and I was like, oh no, it's so horrible. So when I finally got back, I was hoping it was in time. I was like, please don't air that, you know, please let me redo one, because I'm trying to, I think I said something like, I'm trying to go with a non douchebag angle, because that angle was terrible, and it was just so stupid. Anyway, so I took off like 3 shows from the archives, and I'm planning on probably taking off more, because I if I can force myself to go through and listen to them, I know that it's going to be they're going to continue to just be horrible. And I really mean that. I mean, I was really wrong and stuff, and a lot of it's misleading, and hopefully it's because of, you know, I solicit prayers on this program, so I think people have probably been praying for me not to give out disinformation and stuff like that, and so maybe that's why that show and a few of those shows showed up on my iPod. I was like, oh, wow, that's definitely misinformation. And so I got it off there, and I'm going to continue to purge the stuff. I know that's very unfreedom of speech-like, but it's not cool, too. You know, it's not cool to I mean, this subject matter is so volatile that it needs to be at least updated with what I currently think, you know. I mean, I think it's there for good historical things and stuff, too. In a lot of cases, I don't mind being wrong, but, you know, it's a difference between being wrong and being, like, you know, doing bad for somebody. So, I guess that's the corrections I wanted to make. I know that there was something else. I lost my sheet of stuff that I wanted to talk about as far as all that goes. So, I don't know. There's probably something else. Okay, that's it.
Now, it's important to understand where the increase began so that you can understand the importance of long-term blah, blah, blah,
look
blah,
at
blah.
These smiling
blah,
faces.
Blah, 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 blah.
They
blah,
just
blah,
don't
blah,
have a clue.
Blah, blah, blah.
Look at them.
Blah, 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 blah,
don't they know that I don't know what I'm talking about? How long is it before I'm finally found out?
Blah, blah, blah,
when is someone going to expose me for the fraud that I am?
Blah, blah, blah.
Alright, let's get into, let's see, what to talk about. I guess we're just going to freestyle rant a little bit here. I guess what I'll do is I'll talk about the recent trip to New York and everything, and up all there up east. Normally I wouldn't do the, hey, let's talk about my week thing, like Art Bell would talk about his cat. Nobody really cares, but I do have a few observations about New York and all that stuff. Keep in mind, I'm from Tennessee, so we're you know, it's the big city to me. But, you know, I've been to, I don't know, 150 cities, I don't really know, but, you know, New York is definitely in a league of its own. One of the reasons I like it is because there's no, like, Walmart or anything around. I mean, if you're in Manhattan, you're going to a specialty store to get whatever you want. There's no government-issued scissors and or whatever. You know, if you're going to go get some bread, you're going to go to a bakery or something like that. I really like it. It's just everybody likes New York. But a big part of it is walking around. You know, you see everything that you watched in your whole TV, growing up and with TV life. Like, oh, I remember that from a show that I watched. Everything, like, is reminiscent of some something that you've seen in a movie or a TV. So you automatically feel cool, like walking down the street. So you're like, I am cool, and you are not, so that's what's up. But anyway, I walked, where we were playing is called The Knitting Factory, and we played, it was at night, so afterwards, it was some odd, I don't know, whatever, 12 at night or something like that. So I was walking down, it could have been earlier than that, I don't really know, we did play early. Anyhow, I was walking down the Ground Zero, saw that thing, walked around the financial district and everything, and one of the things that jumped out at me, I didn't go down there for this purpose, was the Federal Reserve Building. If you have ever seen this building, it is the most imposing Lord of the Rings unpenetrable fortress I have ever seen. It looks like it is ready for World War VIII. It is so fortress. And I mean, you know, it's not, there's no way to penetrate this building. It's got these huge Gothic doors, like, you know, castle doors, these two that would open up, you know, in the middle, like two sides, and it's got these amazing, like, just grates. It's like got three layers of like iron barred windows, and it's all like built, you can tell, to be like so unattainably, you know, superior. It's like, it's so amazing. I was looking at it it's kind of like walking down in that district at that time of night is almost like time frozen, because there's nobody anywhere. I mean, it's such the difference from, you know, the daytime where you can't do anything at all. You can't move because of all the people. But at nighttime, there's just nobody. And I was just so amazed at that building. I was like, you bastards. But anyway, and if you don't know anything about the Federal Reserve or why I'm saying that, you should go to Google Video, type in some stuff about the Federal Reserve, do a little research, see that they are neither federal nor a reserve, and exactly how all this pertains to that. Do yourself a favor, because it does concern you. So anyway, yeah, I kept walking down through the district there, and I looking at all the monuments to man that they've built everywhere, and it's just amazing. It really did seem like that. It's like, these are just monuments to men's pride, you know, really. I mean, they're just so, when you look at it like that, they're just so fragile, really. I mean, it's just, it's all just so silly, you know, because behind all those buildings, you think, oh, the marvels of technology and everything else. I don't really see it like that. I just see it like, you fools, you know? I don't know why. I mean, it's just so, you know, behind all the men that decided, like, I've got all this money, I'm going to build a building, and they tell somebody to build it, basically, is all they did. They didn't build it, they just said, build a building, because I have money, go find somebody that can do it and make them build it. But, you know, behind that is just such these, you know, everybody has these just ridiculous, you know, prideful motives about damn near everything. There's not really any virtue, any, you know, that I see in at least in the mainstream, you know, stuff like that. So anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that. I did get lost, and and I was laughing at everybody throughout the course of the day, because everybody would come back and be like, I got so lost, and it's like, I don't know how I could get so lost. And I was like, I know where I'm at. I mean, there's no way to get lost, you know, you can see, you know. But it is, you have to have a compass if you're walking down, walking around down there, and you don't know your way around, because eventually it all just starts looking like a big maze, like just a big rat maze, and all the buildings look the same. And I was like, damn. And I was really lost, but I didn't really care, because it was, you know, seeing all kinds of new stuff and whatever, but I was getting quite thirsty. But anyway, so I just hailed a cab, basically, and then he took me to, and then I made him stop, because there was this huge Gothic temple looking, just obviously some, and had a big obelisk outside. It was obviously some sort of Masonic or you know, very ritualistic kind of thing there. And I was like, what is that? And the cabbie was like, it's a church. I was like, that's a church. It didn't ring like a church to me, but It was like the oldest building in New York, or that withstood all the stuff, you know, or the oldest working building in New York. And it was the church, quote unquote, that Ben Franklin went to, and George Washington was inaugurated at. I can't remember what the name of it is, Saint something or other. But it looked like there was some nefariousness going on inside of there. I tell you what, if you there looked like some windows open, I was just thinking, what is going on in there? You know, it can't be good. I know they're not praying. Big old obelisk outside with this, like, you know, symbolism towards a serpent and everything. And then, oh yeah, the Federal Reserve Building, like walking by these grates, you could hear something going on in there. And it just, I mean, I was just imagining like these torture chambers. It's just like, you just heard these like massive clinks, like, whoosh. So, I don't know. That was pretty funny. But I gave the cabbie, a loose change DVD, and he was like, and along with a pretty good tip, and he was like, just really appreciative of it. He obviously recognized the loose change thing because he was like, thank you. So, you know, just real appreciative of it. And, except he said it in a New York accent, which I've gotten pretty good at, because you have to scream profanities out the window and honk your horn a lot when you're driving a shuttle bus down there. You have to really get on the horn if you want to get anything done, because there's no rules. There's no rules to the road. It's four lanes, no rules, just honk a lot and all everybody for themselves. I actually like it. The only problem was just going, you have to go down the side streets a lot, and it's real narrow, but it's doable. So, and that's another thing that I have been doing a lot, giving away those DVDs. I was talking about that. I got to tell you, something I really recommend is giving away these DVDs. I've printed up, one of my favorite ones to do is print up the Sweet Misery, which is an amazing movie about aspartame. Look that up, Sweet Misery. You'll probably have to buy it somewhere. It's worth it. It's worth supporting them because it is amazing. But it's about aspartame. It's just knock down, drag out. Will make anybody drinking Diet Coke stop drinking Diet Coke. It's killing America. I mean, cancer's up like 1,000% since the day that it got released on the market. And there's all kinds of neurological disorders. And it just lays it out really well and shows how it was all Donald Rumsfeld that did it, basically. Who was the president of CERL to get it through. It took Ronald Reagan getting in office and firing the head of the FDA, hiring his own guy whose first order of business was to approve aspartame in the face of all this mountain of evidence that it was creating all these neurological problems and brain tumors and everything else. So without ranting on that too much, it's a really good movie, and I just have a pocket full of these DVDs every time I go to a grocery store or any time. I just have them on me at all times, and the vaccine ones too. So, and it's such an amazing thing, those two DVDs, to give to somebody, because you see somebody with Diet Coke in their cart, and usually it's like 10, 12 packs of Diet Coke, and you go up to them, and it's not like I'm preaching to them or anything. I'm just like, here's a DVD. It's about Diet Coke and stuff. And they look at it and they're like, you know, they're like really appreciative, even though they don't know, you know, what it's going to be about or whatever. But if somebody's handing you a DVD about Diet Coke because they see you have Diet Coke in it, it just, there's something there that they want to thank you for. And the same thing with handing new mothers, you know, walking around with babies, the vaccine DVD, which is a good one. I could point you to this movie. If you want to email me, it's chris@conspiracyclothes.com. That is Chris, C-H-R-I-S, @conspiracyclothes.com. And I will show you, link you to the places where I got a lot of the movies and stuff like that. I'm working on a website right now. I got the nowheretorun.podomatic.com, and I am almost got, well, nowheretorun.info is up, but it has nothing on there. Rob was gracious enough to kind of put a template up there for me right now, but it doesn't have any archives, and it doesn't, I mean, I'm about to learn how to do FTP and all this stuff, and I'm actually going to do that this week. I got a lot of plans for this kind of thing going. I got a full week to do stuff, and listen to this. I don't know if you care, but it's the most amazing thing ever. My girlfriend bought me a laptop, and that is like going to change my life. It's going to just change it. I mean, right now I, you know, run home and I got a day to produce these shows and everything. And now with this laptop, I don't miss a beat. You know, I got the rest of the week to work on everything. I mean, these shows are going to start getting a lot better, and, you know, I'll be able to spend more time with them and stuff, and really do a lot more research, because usually I'm unconnected for half, sometimes more of the week, and this is really going to change my life. It's also going to really helped me with a lot of the stuff that I've been falling behind on with the fluoride thing and all this stuff. Just I know I could have just done so much more, and I will continue to do it. I got all kinds of good ideas. It's got just a lot of things to do, but just haven't had the time. Just really, really busy. But, you know, I can't complain about being busy because they got us working so hard. They got every one of us working so hard right now that we're ineffective. The sentiment of being busy is like the new mantra of humanity. It's like, oh, I don't have time, I just do too much time, because it costs every bit. I mean, they've got the system to where the interest rates, and I mean, that's what it is. I mean, if the interest rates control your house payment, your car payment, and every other payment that you make, because they've got it all under credit now, then I submit that that is total control over your life, because they get to decide how much you work and how much you don't. And that's why, I mean, as good as it was, women's liberation, that was in effect doubling their income, because they got, first they got all the women into the workforce, and then they cut the whole thing, so it took both people working as hard as they could in order to pay the decent bills. I mean, you don't wonder why a man used to be able to work one job and live quite comfortably if he had a good job. But that is no longer possible because of that, and it's because of the devaluing of the dollar, the interest rates, and all this other stuff. It's a dangerous game they're playing, because, I mean, for one thing, they keep us so busy that they get to raise the children. And that's what they do. The state owns your kids. The state owns, I mean, if the state can come to your house and tell you you're not being a good parent and take them away, and you don't have any recourse, and then that's, the state owns your kid. I mean, if you just, in some places, if you decide not to give your kid one of these deadly vaccines, they will take your kid away and call you an abuser, denying them, or whatever the term that they use, vaccinate them themselves, and probably in some cases keep them forever. I mean, Alex Jones is a great, you know, defender of that idea. And if you don't know about Alex Jones, if you're catching this show and you don't know about Alex Jones, you got to check him out. I mean, Infowars.com. This guy is something else. Talk about a character. You know, he is the future of talk radio. All talk radio is gone, and it's dying, because everybody is starting to realize that it's completely fake, and it's just a natural recourse for us to be like, I don't want fake things. I want real things. And if you want real things with a character, a character that can't help being who he is, check out Alex Jones. I'm about to post a new shirt. I wore it a few shows, but it's a shirt that I made. It's not for Conspiracy Clothes. I thought about making it for Conspiracy Clothes, but I'll just make them, because anybody can make them. You can just go to Walmart and get a white T-shirt and these little cutout letters and make a shirt that says Alex Jones Rocks. And I think it's a good one. It's a good one for, like, being on TV and stuff. You know, it's kind of a subtle thing. It's also kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod to anybody that knows about Alex Jones, because it's not saying anything like, you know, revolution, or, you know, like 9/11 was an inside job or anything. It's just saying Alex Jones rocks. If you don't know who Alex Jones is, you don't know what I'm talking about. And if you do, then you do. So I just thought that was pretty clever. I'm going to post a picture of me wearing my Alex Jones rock shirts pretty soon. Maybe I'll get one of me playing or something. That's the kind of thing I can do when I get my nowheretorun.info site up. Okay. So, yeah, looks like I rented for a good little bit, and we'll go ahead and take a slight little break here, and we will come back and talk, say a lot more us and you knows and all that stuff that I can't seem to break the habit of. Be right back.
Just about my size. Live your life how you love to live it. Things will all fall into place.
she will. Something I must tell you, girl. It's been building up so long. You see, all the time the sound is your love consultant. Wanted to be there myself. Live your life how you love to live it. Things in love fall in place. Try your best to sing it. In the end, you meet your friend. Ah! I love you more than it would seem. I love you more than it would seem.
sick of being fed lie after lie by the mainstream media each day? Don't you feel it's time to stand up and be heard? Are you ready for the alternative media revolution? Ready or not, here we are. Revere Radio Network, bringing you the best in alternative news and commentary.
Have you ever stood and stared at it? Marveled at its beauty? It's genius. Billions of people just living out their lives. Oblivious.
Last week, Japanese scientists placed explosive detonators at the bottom of Lake Loch Ness to blow Nessie out of the water. Sir Court Godfrey of the Nessie Alliance summoned the help of Scotland's local wizards to cast a protective spell over the lake and its local residents and all those who seek for the peaceful existence of our underwater ally.
They didn't have any aspirin, so I got you some cigarettes.
I told you it would be all right!
I hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me.
All right, everybody, we are back, and thanks for joining us again. That's a little Merle Haggard right there, the fighting side of me. Before that, we had Gabe Dixon Band. It's called The Gabe Dixon Band, G-A-B-E. And you can get him at myspace.com, Gabe Dixon Band. They're from Nashville, Tennessee. We played with them a few times. Well, actually, just once. I've seen them a lot. They don't play as much as they used to, but they are an amazing band. It's a really good album, On a Rolling Ball, if you get a chance to check that out. But, yeah, so there's some local guys here. All right, again, if anybody wants to contact me for any reason, it's chris@conspiracyclothes.com, and you can, it's a secure server there. You can tell me where I'm wrong about whatever I said, and call me out. An ongoing assignment is to call me out on whatever I said wrong, so chris@conspiracyclothes.com. Also, I still have an assignment out that if you want to do the calling up your local radio hosts or national radio hosts and bringing up some of these major issues, whatever they may be, whatever it is that's concerning you the most, whether it be, you know, Building 7, World Trade Center 7, or, you know, Bohemian Grove. I had to even bring those up because that's what the Mark Dice guy is doing. But, you know, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter because it's such an amazing opportunity, because they have no recourse because they have to spit the party line so effectively. But if you do that, if you call them up and get something and you get a recording of it, if you can send me that recording, I will give you a free shirt from conspiracyclothes.com. Just go to conspiracyclothes.com, pick out one of the shirts, tell me what size you want, and I'll ship it right out, because I think that is the coolest thing to do, just calling them up and talk about 9/11, talk about the vaccines, talk about aspartame, fluoride, whatever you can to squeeze in there. And you know, I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff that we can talk about nowadays. But bust one of the talking heads and get a free T-shirt is the moral of that story. Okay, one thing that the mainstream media doesn't do very well is talk about Ron Paul running for president. What is the deal? I mean, this guy is an active congressman, and they're acting like he is just some, you know, kid from the streets, you know? I mean, and he has a super chance of doing shaking some things up, but I think what needs to happen and what I would like to see happen would be a massive campaign to pray for Ron Paul. And you could make MySpace pages, pray for Ron Paul, you know, websites, pray for Ron Paul. I think getting people to actively pray for Ron Paul. Ron Paul, I think, is going to be necessary because, for one, I mean, he has to get his... this election, I think, is going to be the most important, probably the most important election in the history of America. And I really believe that because I think it'll be the last real election in the history of America. I don't even think that we can really win because of the electronic voting machines. But I think if Ron Paul's message gets out there enough, then we're going to have people realize that the voting machines are wrong. And the only way to really do this, I think, I know that I and most of the people on Revere, you know, and most of the people around this system, you know, believe that this is the last hope for America. You know, this guy who wants to repeal all the stuff that they did and knows what they did and the decentralization of all this stuff and the abolishing of the Federal Reserve System and printing our own money. I mean, just a complete, total turnaround here. Bringing the troops home and not doing, you know, I don't know, I can't speak for the man himself. I mean, you can go to his website, Ron Paul, and watch you know, all the clips of movies and stuff. But the main point is that if he, you know, there's many reasons he wouldn't be allowed to be president, you know. He would be shot and killed before that. And you got to give him credit because he knows that. I mean, he knows that there is no way he could actually be allowed to do it under this complete, total control of the system that they have. You know, I mean, offering us two skull and bones cousins, both related to the Queen of England last election, was not exactly a democratic choice. But we don't understand it. I mean, we don't even care as America. I mean, we don't know, but I don't even think if we knew we would care. It's like, well, that's strange, you know? It doesn't matter that George Herbert Walker has, in effect, ruled this country as a king for nearly 30 years with 8 years of Reagan, and we found out he was ruling it, you know, basically running that show with Iran-Contra. We found out all that stuff. And then he had his own administration. And then he has a little William Clinton, who, when he was director of the CIA, apparently recruited Clinton and put Clinton on the whole Rhodes Scholarship tour and everything. So he was bought and paid for. And then you got his son for another 8 years. And then we're looking at Hillary Clinton again, who was obviously subservient to Herbert Walker again. I mean, what the hell is going on here? You know, there's not much chance for Ron Paul. But if anything, because of the debating aspects of elections, because they have to do some amount of free debate has to happen in the elections. There has to be some unscripted stuff. That's why, you know, these people that have to run have to go to your town and their cameras are going to be rolling and all these people are getting bold and they're asking about 9/11 and everything to these candidates. The truth is going to really start coming out because of the election. And because they started so early, we've got a lot of time to do it. And Ron Paul's candidacy is going to be everywhere he goes. He's going to gain credibility to what we all know. You know, it's true that this country has been usurped and has been, and they're running away with it, and they're running away to give it away to, they have given it away to the North American Union. I mean, we're a part of Mexico, America, and Canada, people. I mean, it's already done. You just don't know about it yet. I mean, they're now talking about the currency on TV, talking about the Amero. Well, you know, we should have, like Lou Dobbs said, it's like, don't you think we should have voted for it, you know? I mean, it's not their constitution to give away. It's not the government's constitution to give away secretly. You know, it's we the people, not, and the government is subservient to us, the people, not the other way around, and they can't just give it away. And so that's the kind of thing that Ron Paul knows, and he is an active congressman, and he is running for president, and we need to support him. And the best way that I can think of to support him is praying for him. Actively praying for him. I think that you know, we can really do some good for praying for him. And I think if God is for him, who can be against him? You know, what are odds if God is actually on his side? You know, and I really do genuinely believe you can see him, you can hear him. This guy is, you know, he's founding father material. It's like Alex Jones says, he's really somebody that I feel could be instrumental in at least waking up America before it's too late. Because if we continue to believe what we're believing right now, we're going to be led to slaughter, to death, and for a number of different reasons. It's all around us. The things that are killing us and leading us to this police state, it's so fast, and not just a police state, but a worldwide government 1984 police state is just barreling down on us, and we don't even know it. That's what's killing me, is this whole thing is going to happen, and we didn't even know it. But I do think there's going to be a chink in their armor, a crack in their defenses, something that will wake everybody up. That's an ongoing prayer that I have. And so I ask you guys out there, if you're so inclined, to pray for Ron Paul and maybe help spread the word to pray for Ron Paul, or put him in your prayer groups if you have one, and all that kind of stuff. So that is one point I wanted to make. I'm also going to play a clip here in just a minute. It's of Chuck Missler, of a talk he gave. I heard this on my MP3 player over the weekend, or week, and it just blew me away. It's amazing. And this just goes to show you how every little letter counts in the Bible. But this was from a lecture where he was talking about the Old Testament and how he was just giving an overview of the Old Testament. And one of his main points is that the entire Bible is screaming this idea of the Redeemer. I mean, it's not really divided between the Old and New Testament. It's all one story. This is some amazing stuff. I'll let him do it here, but check this out.
And that's one chapter I'm going to touch on superficially, but quickly tonight, chapter 5. You and I come to chapter 5 in Genesis, as we're going through our, even on a casual tour, we're inclined to skip it. Because what is it? It's a genealogy. Book of Genesis has 10 genealogies in it, one of which is, of course, the genealogy of the earth, the Teladoth, the generations of whatever. But chapter 5 has the genealogy of Noah, from Adam to Noah, 10 guys. And if you go through this, you find that Adam has a son in verse 3, name is Seth. Verse 6, Seth has a son named Enosh, and on it goes to the end. One of these guys that you get in verse 21, Enoch has a son by the name of Methuselah. Everybody's heard of Methuselah. And it's amazing how 9 out of 10 Bible helps do not give you the correct understanding of what his name means. Methuselah comes from two Hebrew roots. The word muth, which means his death. It occurs over 100 times in the Old Testament. The second part of his name comes from the verb shalach, which means shall bring. The name Methuselah means his death shall bring. Now, the reason that's so interesting, see, first of all, you need to understand the flood of Noah did not come as a surprise. It was preached on for 4 generations. In fact, the oldest prophecy of the Bible is uttered by Enoch, and it's of the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's a grabber, by the way. Think about it. The oldest prophecy in the Bible uttered by a prophet is prior to the flood, and it's of the second coming of Jesus Christ. You find it in Jude 14. But Enoch got another prophecy that most people don't realize. He apparently was told that as long as his son was alive, the flood would be withheld. He named him, his death shall bring, Methuselah. And if you do your homework, you'll discover the year that Methuselah died is the year the flood came. Now, always think about that. I think it's an interesting. Can you imagine the problem raising that kid? Every time he caught a cold, everyone went in a panic. But my point is, if there's all that meaning hidden behind the name Methuselah, what about the other 9 guys in this genealogy? Let's take a quick look at it. The first one's Adam. That's pretty easy. Adam means what? Man. Good for you. And he has a son by the name of Seth in verse 3. If you go back to chapter 4, verse 25, you discover that Eve, when she had Seth, thought he was a replacement, appointed to be a replacement for Abel, whom Cain slew. So she names him appointed. The word Seth means appointed. All right. In verse 6, Seth had a son by the name of Enosh. Enosh means mortal. I won't defend all of these. You can't just use a lexicon or a dictionary. You have to get a root dictionary to get in behind the meanings here. But anyway, and this is in our literature, our various publications, several places, documented with footnotes and all that. I'm just going to give you the highlights. Enosh means mortal. In verse 9, Enosh has a son by the name of Kenan, not Canaan. Many Bible study Bibles say that's Canaan. No, it's Kenan. It's Hebrew, not Aramaic. Kenan is mentioned in Numbers 24. It means sorrow. Sorrow. The Kenites. And of course, Kenan has a son in verse 12 who he calls him Mahalalel. Kind of a mouthful, but the word El, you recognize the name of God. Mahalalel means the blessed God. That's a pretty neat name. Kind of a mouthful, but not bad, huh? And Mahalalel has a son in verse 15 called Yared, which is a Hebrew verb meaning shall come down. And Yared has a son by the name of Enoch in verse 18. You all heard of Enoch. What does his name mean? His name means teaching. He was a teacher. It means teaching. Enoch. He has a son by the name of Methuselah, which we've already talked about his death shall bring. And Methuselah has a son by the name of Lamech. Now, here's a root that we have in our language, lamentation or lament, right? Lamech means despairing. And Lamech has a son by the name of Noah. We've all known Noah. What does his name mean? In verse 29, it gives us a clue. It says, he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and so on. Name of Noah means comfort or rest. Now, if you take a piece of paper and you list these names, you can list Adam, Seth, Enosh, etc. Go right on through. But along on the right-hand side, list the meaning of their names. Listen carefully. Fasten your seatbelts. Man is appointed mortal sorrow. But the blessed God shall come down, teaching his death shall bring the despairing comfort. Amen. Who is right? Every time I go through this, and I use it a lot because there's so much you can learn from this, I get goosebumps. There's no way you can convince me that a group of Jewish rabbis contrived to hide the Christian gospel in a genealogy in their venerated Torah. No way. But what it does tell you is that our plan of redemption is not an afterthought. God had it in mind and made his deal with the Son before the foundation of the earth. When did God first start dealing with you? Ephesians 1:4 says, before the foundation of the world. God's plan is unfolding. Adam did not catch him by surprise. He knew Adam would blew it, and he knew what the cost would be to redeem him.
So there you go. That's pretty heavy stuff. Again, that's Chuck Missler. And Chuck has a lot of material on the web. Chuck Missler, you can go to his website, khouse.org, K, the letter K, the word house.org. It's one of the oldest sites on the internet. It's got a lot of material there. 6640 radio downloads for free. He's also got a lot of stuff that you can buy for free. There is other places on the net that you can get some really good audio. I got a lot of audio this week for my MP3 player on, is it firefighters.org? Yeah, firefighters.org. There's a ton of audio on that site for all kinds of things. Good for your MP3 player. Okay, guys, I am going to take a break, and I'll be right back after this terrific song by Jason Isbell from the Drive-By Truckers, or formerly of the Drive-By Truckers. Here is Jason Isbell with Dress Blues.
What can you see from your window? I can't see anything from mine. Flags on the side of the highway and scripture on grocery store signs. Maybe 18 was too early. Maybe 30 or 40 is too. You get your chance to make peace with the man before he sent down his angels. Mamas and grandmamas love you, 'cause that's all they know how to do. Never planned on the bombs in the sand or sleeping in back home in a week. Turn 22 and we'd celebrate you in a bar or tent by the creek. Your baby would just about be here and your very last tour would be up. But you won't be back there all dressing
school gymnasium ready, full of flowers and old legionnaires. Nobody showed up to protest, just sniffle and stare. There's red, white, and blue in the rafters, and there's silent old men from the Corps. What did they say when they shipped you away to fight somebody's Hollywood?
Fear Radio Network, Tampa.
Okay, guys, I'm going to spend just a quick minute here encouraging everybody to make a donation to Revere. If you got extra $5 or $10, go to revereradio.net and hit the Make a Donation button. You'll see all kinds of different ways to throw $5 or $10 towards Revere to help pay for bandwidth and all that kind of stuff that they got over there. Revere Radio has 20 or so DJs doing virtually the same thing I am, so go there, check it out any time of the day. It's 24 hours a day. Usually at night it plays a lot of interesting stuff like Constitution classes and different wonderful just tutorials. I've learned a lot of stuff. In fact, before I when I first came to Revere, I didn't know a lot. I mean, I thought I knew all these, you know, all the conspiracies and stuff, but you know, just a listening of Revere, you learn so much. I learned about the Constitution and about the AIDS thing. If you've never looked into what AIDS is and where its history is, I heard about that here. You can learn a lot. And you can so anyway, that's my serving somebody here.
They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Try to relax. This will feel a little weird.
I don't feel very good.
Hi. Does this seem weird?
Okay, well, I am almost done with the show for this week, but I'd like to encourage everybody to burn DVDs and hand them out, especially the ones that are saving lives, like the vaccine ones and the ones about the aspartame and the Diet Cokes and stuff. All the 9/11 stuff, that's all good too. There's a million of them that you can burn, but they're such a good tool for just keeping on you for the grocery store, especially if you see the fluoride deception. That's a good one to have because, you know, if you see people, well, you know how I feel about fluoride, but definitely I saw somebody the other day. I didn't even notice that they had it in their cart because the guy next to me had Diet Coke, and I was like, hey, here you go, man. It's a DVD about, you know, Diet Coke and stuff. And he was like, thanks, man. And I actually got out of line in order to give it to him, and I got back in the same line, and the people behind me moved up one space, and I saw that they had that damn nursery fluoride water in their cart, and I was like, oh, gosh, I hate that stuff. Because, I mean, you know, just for the record, that the only group of people that the government admits, the ADA and CDC admit that is dangerous for is babies. Newborn babies are the only ones that they say should not be getting fluoride. And that's a big step in the right direction. I mean, I could go a lot further than saying that they shouldn't, but that is the only group that it's marketed towards in this bottled water. I mean, how backwards is that? It's marketed to the very people that we admit shouldn't get it. And mothers are buying it because they're like, well, they want to do the best for their babies, you know. And if it has a picture of a baby, by God, on the water label, then, well, that's the water that they need. Oh, it's so crazy. But anyway, yeah, so I gave them a fluoride DVD and just to have a lot of them on me. It's a good thing to have on you. So everybody do that. Pray for Ron Paul. Start MySpace pages. Pray for Ron Paul. Pray for Ron Paul. Pray for me, if you can, to keep me from spitting out disinformation. I always just encourage any kind of prayers. I can use them. And I should be able to really keep this thing moving a lot smoother now that we have the laptop, because I love my girlfriend so much, because that's just the coolest thing that has ever happened ever to me. I'm so glad that she's so awesome. And all right, so I guess that's it. So I'm gonna go ahead and sign off here, and I just want to remind everybody to eat right and to stop. It's really important. I mean, this is the end of the world. We got to start acting like it, you know. I mean, just start eating right. Don't eat any more poison and stuff. When you go to the grocery store, you should have an extremely hard time finding real food, because that's the way it is now. I mean, everything is trying to kill us. I hate to be so alarmist, but you know, it's the way it's seeming. So, okay. So I'm out of here, guys. Power to the people, and all the glory be to God.